Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
We're back. 12-800-531-3815, toll-free coast to coast. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate. Thank you very much for being part of our day. Let me tell you about this topic I mentioned earlier, creating partnerships with big businesses. You ever thought about that? Okay, I know that you probably either have or you want to do business with some of the big companies around you there, some of the big plants that are located nearby maybe there's a large executive office and maybe there's a headquarters of a very large company that's nearby you. And you'd like to be able to do some business with them. Well, I'm not going to tell you how to prepare your proposal. I don't know the industry that you're in. I don't know how you could create something that they could use. That's your job. But what I do want to do is talk to you a little bit about the concept. I want to talk to you about the idea of going to these people and getting some business out of them. And not only that, but making them your partner by becoming their partner. You've heard me saying on the show before that I remember when big businesses, well, let me say this, big businesses have always needed small businesses. We're the little vendors that have, we've done the janitorial work, we've repaired the windows, we've mowed the yards, we've provided the local supplies and for the maintenance of the factories or whatever. They've always needed us because we've been the local vendors. But in the old days, the attitude that I've always felt that I got out of a lot of big businesses was they wanted you to be their partner, but they didn't want to be your partner. It was a one-way partnership. And how that manifested itself was that the companies would basically do whatever they wanted to do. They'd demand things of you, and they would do whatever they wanted to do themselves. For one of the things that they would do is they would give you their business, and then once you got used to that business, the next year when the contract renewed, they'd squeeze you just a little bit more to try to get a little bit more out of you. And guess what? You're addicted. You're hooked. You're absolutely connected, at the hip to this company. You've fallen in love with the volume. You fall in love with being able to count on that volume, with the profits that you've been able to get from that. And so you downgrade the value of it, and you accept their new terms. And this goes on and on and on. I've seen it happen many times. That was the old marketplace. I don't think it's like that anymore, at least not much. What has happened, you heard me talking, I think, yesterday about one of our guests about vendor reduction. I believe it was with Skip Miller. I said something about vendor reduction. Over the last 10 years or so, there's been more and more vendor reduction going on. Companies are realizing they don't need to have 10 deep in every commodity that they buy or every product or service that they buy. They don't have to have 10 deep. Why don't they just find one or two, create a great relationship with those people, and count, and everybody counts on each other. That's the way it's been heading now for a number of years, actually more than 10 years. Probably began about 15 years ago, and it became more and more in earnest in the, around 10 years or so ago. And in the last 5 years or so, maybe a little bit more, it's pretty much become the way the marketplaces work, the way the big companies have worked. Vendor reduction. Count on, find the best people, find the very best people, and count on them. And what winds up happening is a de facto partnership. Not an official partnership, not one that you put down on a partnership agreement and file, filed at the courthouse, but a partnership that may be based on a contract. They may not call it a partnership on the contract, but basically, a partnership is where I count on you and you count on me, and we both pull our weight and we both have the same goal, and we both do our jobs. That's a successful partnership. And so that's what you winding up with more and more. Now, with big companies and other big companies, but also big companies and small companies. This is happening more and more. And if you can understand that, if you can understand that that these big companies are only going to do business with a certain number of people, and if you can identify areas that you can be competitive in, don't try to conquer the world. Don't tilt at a windmill. Don't try to do something that's way out of your wheelhouse. Because if you do, you'll fail. But, and I'm not saying don't push the envelope. I'm just saying make sure that you can do what you say you're going to do. Because remember, we're talking about a partnership here. Make sure that you can do what you say you're going to do. Now, but here's the difference between today for small business and, say, 10 years ago for small business, maybe even 5 years ago for small business, and that's technology. And we're going to talk about technology in the days ahead. I've got more to talk about technology. But right now, as a small business owner, you can leverage yourself. You can leverage your assets, your capital, your resources, your capability. You can leverage that in ways that never was possible to a small business before. And so consequently, you can actually ratchet up your level of delivery, your expectation of the size of partnership that you can have, the size of commitment that you can make to a larger company by leveraging technology, by doing everything that you're doing right now, but adding a layer of technology to leverage that, to get an extra lever on those resources that you already have. And if you can do that, remember this, these big companies are realizing that they need small businesses more and more. They're doing less and less in-house, and more they're outsourcing. More and more, by being able to count on a few key, dependable vendors, more and more companies are focusing on their core competencies and letting other people do what they do best. And that might be you. When we come back, I'm going to talk a little bit more about this right after these messages. It's 20 after. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate. Stay with me. It's 23 after. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate. My website is www.jbsba.com or jimblasingame.com if that helps you remember it better. Or the old one, the original one. All three of these work. The original one is smallbusinessadvocate.com. But we shortened it up, made one that was a little bit more intuitive, jimblasingame.com. Do you have yourname.com? I recommend you that you do that, and or your name dot whatever dot biz, whatever you want, but I recommend you have it at least in one iteration or another. And also, then we have the one that's the really short one, the JBSBA. Don't forget, when you get to jbsba.com, to subscribe to my free newsletter. You still have time to get the series on negotiating. So it's a couple of articles that I've written on negotiating. So check that out when you get a chance. Okay, I want to get back into what I was talking about earlier about creating partnerships with big businesses. You really have to get into that mindset. You really have to allow your brain to get out of the vendor role and into the partnership role. Now, you're still a vendor. There's no question about that. You're still a vendor. You're still supplying a product or a service to your customer. But the relationship, the legal relationship, is contractual. It's a business transaction. You're a vendor, they're a customer. But the real relationship, the emotional relationship, the way that these people, these customers, these new partners of yours, the way that they make their decision is based on an emotional partnership, that they can count on you to deliver what they need. Now, I want to talk about for a minute about how to get that business, whatever it is. Again, you know the industry you're in. I don't know that. And so I'm not going to try to get into that. If you'll notice, I don't do a lot of that on this show because that's your business. I'm trying to just overlay the other things, some of the concepts, some of the ideas, some of the fundamentals that all of us need, regardless of the industry that we're in. Okay, here's the idea. If you bring a product or a service, an idea for delivering a product or a service to a company, and you've come up with a new wrinkle, you've got a new idea about how to do it, and you think it's pretty innovative, but part of your proposal, the delivery, the fulfillment, a part of your proposal, let's say a good bit of it, is going to require the company, your customer, to commit some resources, some personnel resources to this plan. Well, that's probably not going to work. Because here's what I found. Most of the big companies out there that you would call on, it's not that they have money to throw away, but they've got money. They've got cash. What they don't have are extra people available to do things that you want them to do. Just remember that. If two people take the same idea to a big company, and one of them requires commitment of the customer's staff to fulfill a reasonable part of that project, but they've got a great price. The price is rock bottom. And the second proposer comes in and has the same exact proposal, but it's 100% turnkey, or it's 98%, let's say. Let's say it's 95% turnkey. The customer has to do almost nothing. Much more, perhaps much more than just write the check. Agree, consider my proposal, tell me where you want it stacked, so to speak, and write the check. If you can get it down to that level, or all right, maybe I should say up to that level, then your price can be more than the other person. It could even be a lot more than the other person. Because guess what? This company needs to have it done. They've got budgets. Obviously, they've got budgets they have to work with. But if it has to be done, you'd be surprised how much big companies spend on personnel, more than you spend on personnel. They've got layers and layers of expenses for every person that they hire. And you don't. You don't have all those layers. And so you can deliver a lot of those things with your personnel or even with contract personnel, people that you bring in to fulfill this project. They're not even your people. They're somebody else's people. You put the deal together. You'd be surprised how much more effective you can be than the big company can be, especially if it is not their core competency. So I want you to think about this. And so the next time you're proposing to a big company, you're saying, you know, I want to do what Blasting Game says. I want to be a partner with this company. Well, don't take them up. If you're taking them a proposal that requires their employees to do anything to fulfill that, take another look at it. See if there's any possible way that you can fulfill that 100% or almost 100%. And I think when you tell that prospect partner that you can do a turnkey project on this, that's when you really get their attention. And I think that's where you'll find a partner. 29 after. Go take a quick break. I'll be right back with Gary Moore. The show is brought to you by IBM and Office Depot.
Down to the crossroads. Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.